But we sure don't have anything to talk about today, do we? By the way, Mr. Cohen, the president's former attorney, has arrived at federal court. And that's going to be interesting to watch to see what develops there. We'll talk about some of this nonsense going on regarding Michael Cohen, payoffs, all of that stuff coming up a little bit later on. But I want to brighten your day first with a really cute story I came across. I just thought this was absolutely cool. I try to find stories like this because there's so much nonsense going on. It's good to see some vestiges of healthy humanity out there somewhere. And where do we find it? In the sprawling metropolis of Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we're talking about third graders. Maybe we should take a cue. Here's the story. Word is spreading about how a third grade boy helped his best friend get through the holidays. His name is Jackson Garrett, Cliffdale Elementary student. Noticed his friend Mark didn't have much to eat at lunch and needed new socks. You know what he did? He quietly gave him $30 of his birthday money. He brought his lunch, and all he had for lunch was a sandwich. All that was in the sandwich was peanut butter. Yuck. Not a peanut butter fan. Used to be, years ago. Their teacher didn't find out until Mark's parents called the school and sent a thank you note to Jackson's family. Garrett's gift paid for a few weeks' worth of school lunches and new socks. Can you believe this? Little third grade kid. When that actually happened, my mind... You know, I realized I was literally blown away by this. This is how it was described. Garrett's grandpa has decided to help as well. He and his coworkers are paying for Mark's school lunches for the rest of the year, along with new clothes for Christmas. Isn't this a cool story? I wanted to set the tone. And this is not just a Christmas story. And my challenge and encouragement to you is to look for opportunities to share love and graciousness with people. And I'm not talking about, and I'm not dismissing this as a possibility. I'm not necessarily talking about the person on the street. Sometimes we just need to have our eyes and our ears open to see what is right under our noses. This little third grader did. And now, the life of another little boy is so much richer for it. Something to think about as we start off our broadcast. How many of you felt a little bit of a rumble this morning? This was a bizarre story. We don't normally think of this part of the country as the place where we experience earthquakes. But it has happened. 7 miles north of Decatur, Tennessee, a magnitude of 4.4. And it's actually been felt by people right here in the Carolinas. 4.4. The earthquake at a depth of 5.5 miles. And as we would expect, no reports of any damage or injuries. And you know where this happened? I haven't heard about this place in quite some time. Along the New Madrid Fault Line, along the Arkansas-Tennessee-Mississippi state lines, the second strongest on record in East Tennessee. The strongest was a 4.7. That's near Maryville. Happened back in 1973. Got a friend lives in Maryville. Any case... Just when you think we are far away from earthquakes. Did you happen to feel it? If so, I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to call or text and tell us how you were rattled this morning. It would be kind of interesting to hear that. Before we move on, let's go out to a call from Butch, who is joining us out of Mooresville. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning, Vince, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Same to you.
Yeah, that was such a touching opening monologue there. I really appreciated it, and like I was telling your screener, I remember the way Jesus said it, unless you become as a little child. You know, that's what I like about little children, you know, when they're playing together. Vince, they don't look at what color your skin is. They don't care about that stuff. I wish we as adults could go back to our childhoods and still stay that way, and maybe how much of a better place this world would be. Gotta go, Vince. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Butch. You hit this right on the head. You know, and you know what? One of the reasons kids are so good at this, they're not so calculating. And I'm just speaking of myself. One of my big problems is I have a tendency to overthink things. And you can think and think and think and think to the point you don't do a darn thing. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you can relate to this? You know, and you're debating in your own mind, well, maybe I should do, no, maybe, how's this going to be received? And just forget it. Just do it. Take the risk of doing something bold. Because a lot of times we are constrained by our own heads, and that's what we've got to get out of. And Charles reminds me of that expression, paralysis from analysis. Yep. Been there, done that many times, and have the T-shirt. I mentioned at the start of the broadcast, Michael Cohen. He's going to be sentenced, by the way, at 11 o'clock this morning. 11 o'clock this morning for his role in the payment of hush money to women who said they had affairs with Trump and for lying to Congress about a proposed Trump Tower project in Russia that was discussed during the 2016 election campaign. Back in August, Cohen pleaded guilty to charges by federal prosecutors in New York. Just before the election, he paid adult film actress Stormy Daniels $130,000 and helped arrange a $150,000 payment to former Playboy model Carrie McDougal so the women would keep quiet about their relationships with Trump. Trump has denied having the affairs. But here's a bizarre twist. This is kind of a paradox of stories. Here is Mr. Cohen ready to go to prison. And would you believe this happened in this same matter? Adult film star Stormy Daniels must pay President Trump $293,000 in legal fees. This is the ruling of a judge. U.S. District Court judge ordering this judgment, a reimbursement of attorney's fees. This is absolutely bizarre. More of this as we continue our broadcast. Back on the broadcast, before we get too far ahead here, I want to give you a heads up about something that's going on this morning in Congress. You remember yesterday, we had a conversation with my good friend, Congressman Thomas Massey, about what's going on with the final hours of House operations while the Republicans are in control. They're basically just running out the clock, is what they're doing. They're really wasting time with nonsense like naming buildings, or researching or investigating the possibility of naming buildings. Here's what I want to tell you about. This is a post from Congressman Massey this morning. Now, if we're able to take it, I want to try to take his speech this morning on the House floor live, if we're able to do it. I'm not going to torment you right now because Sheila Jackson Lee is speaking. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Please make it stop. I mean, this woman, I don't know how many brain cells are actually in that head of hers. I'm serious. She's about as dumb as a rock. And that's probably an insult to rocks. Anyway, I'm terrible. I should be ashamed of myself. Should I not? I'm not. Here's what I want to share with you. This is what Thomas Massey posted this morning. He raised this question. Does your congressman know what's hidden in a procedural vote on the farm bill today? Charles and John, quick question. What should be in the farm bill, if there is such a thing in the first place?
Agriculture?
Thank you. Agriculture. That's a brilliant idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
But apparently that's not all that's in the farm bill. Mr. Massey goes on. Does he or she care? To avoid a vote and a debate on whether the U.S. should be involved in a war in Yemen, our leadership will trick many members into suspending the provisions of the War Powers Act. What is this bill about again, Charles? John?
Agriculture? Farming?
Farming?
And now we have something about the War Powers Act inserted in this legislation?
Protect the farms.
That's brilliant. They want to protect the farms. My goodness. This was placed inside a procedural resolution for the Farm Bill by the Rules Committee, a.k.a. the Speaker's Committee, late last night. Many members will vote for it today without even knowing. This is just one way Washington, D.C. is sadly broken. Please ask yourself, if these were honest brokers, why would they hide an issue as important as war inside a farm bill vote and do it late at night, just hours before the vote? I don't hesitate to say this. What we're dealing with here are criminals. These people are dishonest criminals. Why would they put this in there? Why? I'm not even going to ask where the president is on this because this begs the question, is this what the president wants? Is this why they've inserted this in there? So if Thomas Massey addresses this during the course of this broadcast, during a time slot that allows it, we're going to try to listen in on his floor speech. Right now, the House is doing 5-minute speeches. So basically, they're lining up and speaking on whatever they want to talk about. I mean, who knows what they're going to talk about? Various and sundry issues. So can I just call on you right now to contact your member of Congress and tell them if this provision stays in there, tell them absolutely refuse to vote for this farm bill. Now, knowing these people, this is one of those things they might very well do with a voice vote. I mean, this is another one of their stunts. Absolutely mind-boggling. Todd, good morning. Welcome.
How are you?
All right.
You're talking about all these crazy things that they put in bills and stuff. My sister works for TSA at the airport. Her paycheck comes from the Department of Agriculture.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
TSA.
TSA.
Oh, my goodness.
And her paycheck comes from the Department of Agriculture.
That is just wonderful.
And it's not, and they're not even on the, what is it, the GS pay scale that government employees have?
Right.
Okay. She's on a separate, they're all on a separate pay scale that they came up with when they developed the TSA. And it's about half of what the government pay scale is.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all. They're not paid very much at all. It's kind of pathetic. I'm not interested in big bloated government programs and, so much largesse going to government employees. But at the same time, if you're talking about the security of people, it's crazy that we would cut corners there. Appreciate your call there, Todd. That is weird. Absolutely weird. Let's go out to Bob. Good morning. Hello, Bob. Are you there? Earth calling Bob. Come in, Bob. And I believe Bob has bobbed one final time and sunk below the surface. Sorry. That was pretty bad, wasn't it? over on the text line. Vince loved the story about the third grader. I've said for many years, if all churches would live up to their biblical mandates, there would be no need for welfare and government aid. Dwight, you're right on the money on this one. Gerald out of Cowpens. That's what makes me proud to live in this area. God bless these kids. And by the way, Gerald adds, one child black, the other white. Yep. Another texter, we've never thought our children to see color. It wasn't until public school taught about slavery in second grade my daughter took notice. Well, that's kind of interesting. On the earthquake, Vince, my wife felt it. We live about an hour east of Asheville Airport. I slept through it. That would be me. I would be the person sleeping through that, and probably a more serious one. Let's see here. If we can feed inmates, why can't we do the same and more for school children? Scary out of Spartanburg. By the way, I felt the earthquake this morning. Yeah, this seems like a number of people have experienced this. Sheila Jackson Lee, you talk crap about her, but she got voted in, but you didn't. Ha ha ha, laughing my rear end off. I'm glad you're amused. See, my identity is not in that, so you can laugh all you want. Vince, who's responsible for putting this war powers provision in the Farm Bill? It's called the leadership. Part of the same system that just got voted in for another 2 years. Paul Ryan's leaving, but the next person down, Kevin McCarthy, he's just going to pick up where Paul Ryan left off, probably. That's who's responsible. Let us see. We don't have time to be fair to another caller. And again, we're going to stay tuned for the possibility of Thomas Massie on the floor to address this issue of the Farm Bill and what the leadership is trying to pull. We'll continue to follow this and talk about a bizarre news conference, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Donald Trump. That's coming up. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. So we told you about what's going on with this hearing a little bit later on. 11 o'clock, it's sentencing time. Sentencing time for Michael Cohen. Stormy Daniels, we mentioned she finds herself owing $292,000 to the president to reimburse his attorneys. This could have been worse, by the way. Attorneys for President Trump had asked a court earlier this month for nearly $800,000 in lawyers' fees and penalties out of Daniels for the failed defamation lawsuit against him. The attorney defended more than 500 hours. His firms rang up $390,000 in legal bills for the president and asked for an equal amount in sanctions as a deterrent against a repeat filer or frivolous defamation cases. Now, Michael Avenatti, you're familiar with him. He's declaring this ruling's not going to survive on appeal. We will see. This is just crazy. Just doesn't end, does it? Over on the text line, on the legislation putting a change to the War Powers Act in the Farm Bill, it just blows my mind even to say that. It doesn't matter what we tell Congress to do because they are controlled by the secret society of Freemasons, which practices Luciferian religion. Boy, I'm so glad you figured that out for me. Did your crazy dog not wake you up during the earthquake? Mine did. Well, she slept right through it. Vince, I know you're a canine lover, so I was wondering if you saw the story about the woman who lost everything in the California campfire. When she fled for her life, her two dogs, Miguel and Madison, were nowhere to be found and had to leave them behind. Yes, there was a happy ending. Yes, I've seen this story. Have you guys seen this story? It is so cool. They come back, and the dog is essentially laying down there, just guarding the house, guarding the place, still there. The other dog was missing, but they found it about 30 miles away. So, as you said, happy reunion, which is absolutely awesome. On Congress, this texter says, meanwhile, Tim Scott, your little South Carolina homie, true turncoat. Is that kind of racial? I'm just curious. Just because the government can doesn't mean they should. Parents should feed their children because it's their privilege and responsibility. It's called a budget. No cigarettes, no lottery tickets, no booze, no sleeping around, no going to a restaurant unless they work there. It's amazing how much money is wasted in a family. Personal responsibility. John out of Cowpens. John, what are we going to do with you? Let's go out to a call from Willie. I hope I don't regret this. Good morning, Willie.
Ebony and ivory. Together in harmony. Now, Vince, I thought you were a devoted Christian. You talking about happy endings on the airwaves?
Yeah. Are you still there?
Are you?
Yes, go right ahead with your point there, Willie.
Point is, I felt the earthquake this morning. You know where there's an earthquake in my 8,000 square feet home? In what part of the room do you think there is always an earthquake, especially on the weekends?
Oh, no.
I'll let you figure it out.
Oh, my goodness. I knew that's where Willie was going to go. Why did I fall for this? Why? One of these days. All right, let's talk about this bizarre news conference yesterday, this photo op with the president and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And one of the first things the president did, just kind of laying out the landscape here, was talking about what's been done with the wall so far. And he talked about some of the progress that is the direct result of having a wall completed in some of these places. Here is his first set of comments.
If you look at San Diego, illegal traffic dropped 92% once the wall was up. El Paso, illegal traffic dropped 72%, then ultimately 95% once the wall was up. In Tucson, Arizona, illegal traffic dropped 92%. Yuma, it dropped illegal traffic 95 to 96%. I mean, and that when I say dropped, the only reason we even have any percentage where people got through is because they walk and go around areas that aren't built. It dropped virtually 100% in the areas where the wall is. So, I mean, it's very effective. If you really want to find out how effective a wall is, just ask Israel. 99.9% effective. Then our wall will be every bit as good as that, if not better. So we've done a lot of work on the wall. A lot of wall is built. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of wall is renovated. We have walls that were in very bad condition that are now in A1 tip-top shape. And frankly, some wall has been reinforced by our military. Our military has done a fantastic job. So the wall will get built.
So the wall will get built. Here is another clip. I think we have time for this one. And I'm just not going to give any commentary. Just listen in on this exchange. Again, this is President Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Here is the second clip here.
Here's what I want to say. We have a lot of disagreements here. The Washington Post today gave you a whole lot of Pinocchios because they say you constantly misstate how much the wall is built, how much of the wall is built, and how much is there. But that's not the point here. We have a disagreement about the wall, whether it's effective or whatever. Not on border security, but on the wall. We do not want to shut down the government. You have called 20 times to shut down the government. You say, I want to shut down the government. We don't. We want to come to an agreement. If we can't come to an agreement, we have solutions that will pass the House and Senate right now and will not shut down the government. And that's what we're urging you to do. Not threaten to shut down the government because you, let me just finish, because you can't get your way.
The last time you shut it down, you got killed.
Yeah, let me say something, Mr. President. You just say my way or we'll shut down the government. We have a proposal that Democrats and Republicans will support to do a CR that will not shut down the government. We urge you to take it.
And if it's not good border security, I
it
won't take it.
It is very good border security.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
My goodness. I just want to ask you objectively, who sounds stronger in that audio, John? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Who sounds stronger?
The president sounds a lot stronger.
You think so?
Trump to me does.
You think he is standing firm in his position of, hey, you know, we're going to get border security no matter what.
Yeah.
Let's keep listening to this a little bit later on in the conversation. Nancy Pelosi, who seemed very uncomfortable during this entire exchange. Let's listen to what she has to say.
Losing their jobs, the market's in a mood. Our members are already.
Well, we have the lowest unemployment that we've had in 50 years.
60 people of the Republican Party have lost it, are losing their offices now because of the transition. Their people are not at the morale.
And we've gained in the Senate, Nancy. We've gained in the Senate. Excuse me. Did we win the Senate? We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
When
I did.
Let me say this.
We did win.
My goodness. By the way, I was going to make reference to what Chuck Schumer said earlier about the news article referring to giving the president Pinocchios. What is he essentially saying, John, to the president in front of his face?
That he's a liar. Calling him a liar.
Right in front of him. Yeah. This is absolutely mind-boggling. We'll talk more about this coming up. I've got to share something with you. I've got to interject something here. Well, because I'm a generous guy, I'll take a couple of calls here first. Gene, you're first. Good morning, Gene.
Yes, good morning, Vince. A point I want to make about Chuck Schumer. Don't mind the noise in the back. That's my son. He's autistic. I'm from Hicksville, New York. I'm aware of Chuck Schumer. He's a year older than me. I don't know him personally, but I've gone to school with people like him that ended up going to Harvard or NYU Law, you know? And what they become are glorified ambulance chasers. Chuck Schumer and even this guy Blumenthal up in Connecticut, who, by the way, tried to lock me up. That's another story. They made careers out of suing families and people. And Schumer has made a very profitable career at the expense of the decent, tax-paying American citizen. And this really annoys me to hear him act out. If he says he's going to do you a favor, understand one thing. All he knows is power and profit for himself and not for anybody else.
I'm not surprised at all, Gene. This does not surprise me the least. This is how these folks operate. Mike, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Vince? Yeah, I'm going to follow up and tag team with my boy from New York. I'm from the Hamptons. I was a nightclub DJ for 18 years, and I've seen too many things I don't want to see. There was a situation in 1995. I played for a 4th of July party, a woman's tea dance, was a lesbian group, and after they were done, the men came in and filed through, and I had my normal night. I was the headline DJ in a homosexual gay club, okay? So I'm not homophobic, and I'm straight. But on this particular night, I happened to see the lying Chuck Schumer dancing away in ways that I don't want to repeat. I wish I didn't have to see. I'm not making this up. I saw it. He's leaving a double life. I wish his wife would find this out and his constituents, because they'd understand that he's the liar, he's the fraud, and I have nothing against the issue of the sexuality. It's just a matter of be truthful to your people. Don't sit there and lie and talk Pinocchio things when you're the one that's creating the narrative of Pinocchio.
Wow. My goodness, Mike. Not going to touch that one. I mean, I think, and this could refer to any number of things in Washington. If we saw the way a lot of these members of Congress behaved, you know, behind closed doors, I mean, I'm sure in many cases we don't want to see, if you get my drift. By the way, I want to read to you a comment that I received during the break. Someone sent this to one of my social media pages. Vince, how could you say that about Sheila Jackson Lee? I referred to her as being dumb as a rock, all right? You've forgotten where you came from, and disrespecting our sisters is unbecoming. Stop tap dancing for once in your life. So I assume this person is, you know, in a roundabout way trying to call me an Uncle Tom. I mean, let's just be honest. Well, let me just tell you something. I don't care what color somebody is. If they're dumb as a rock, they're dumb as a rock. I pulled up a story because I was looking for one particular story about Sheila Jackson Lee. This is pretty sad. When you have the Daily Beast, which is a liberal news agency, doing a story about the stupidity of Sheila Jackson Lee, then you've really got a problem. Here is the title of this story. The Constitution is 400 years old and more pearls from Sheila Jackson Lee. 400 years old. Think about that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a problem, isn't there? There's a whole list here. I'm just going to go through a couple of these. And you tell me. I mean, even my children know better than this. In 1997, on a trip to the Mars Pathfinder Operations Center in California, Jackson Lee asked if the Pathfinder had succeeded in taking a picture of the flag planted on Mars by Neil Armstrong in 1969. Think about that a moment. What's wrong with this story? Needless to say, Jackson Lee, then a member of the House Science Committee, had confused Mars with the moon. Oh, gosh, I'm serious. This is really sad. This is another level of stupidity. And I don't hesitate to say this. Sheila Jackson Lee is the kind of black woman that makes all of us black people look bad. I don't hesitate to say that because it frustrates the living hell out of me that we've got these people who are posers who go out there and they, on the mantle of the so-called civil rights movement and being down with the brothers and sisters, ain't got a lick of sense. And they profoundly misrepresent millions of other black people like myself, whose values and principles are so far removed from hers. You want another one? While Jackson Lee is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, she seems to be badly in need of a new atlas. In 2010, she compared the war in Afghanistan to Vietnam, an analogy that's often been invoked by Democrats. But the lesson she took from that was unique. She said, "Today we have two Vietnams, side by side, North and South, exchanging and working." Yeah, scratch your head there, John. Jackson Lee went on to caution, "We may not agree with all that North Vietnam is doing, but they're living in peace. I would look for a better human rights record for North Vietnam, but they are living side by side." What's the problem with this story, Charles? John?
There's only one Vietnam.
Charles is just shaking his head over there. South Vietnam has not existed for almost 40 years. Since North Vietnamese forces took Saigon and reunified this former French colony in 1975. And she is on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and on the Science Committee. God help us. More on this news conference coming up.